Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are these on? Right, okay. I am exhausted. Do you know that I thought that the donation bucket was an actual bin and I've been putting rubbish in it?
Oh, have you?
For the past couple of days.
Because there's been no money in it, but it, yeah.
Well, I had to give a speech. I didn't know about the bucket. I've never done anything with a bucket, although I have been called a bucket, boom, boom.
But, you seem to have different mood lighting today.
Well, I don't know. I mean, whatever. I'm not. Should we kill these lights, actually?
Yes, seems
a waste of natural resources, in all honesty.
Oh, no, not
those
ones.
Oh, that's so much better.
Oh, is it that right? Okay.
That's so much better. But anyway, so I said at the end of the show, I said there's a bucket. Now, I'm on a fee because I don't agree with busking, so put whatever you want in and just get out. So that was my contribution. How are you, dear?
I'm all right. Tired and emotional, darling.
Oh, big night again last night.
Well, yes. And you know what I said? Absolutely. I was going to do my show and go straight home. The audience were so unbelievably turgid. Or it might be me, one or the other. No, I was actually quite good. But they just went all the way through.
Were you busy?
And I was, And I was traumatised. So I thought, I'll have a pint. And then I started talking to somebody in the loft bar who I later snogged. And then, none of your business, I'll tell you, off air.
You're snogging in public?
I'm snog... Well,
that is revolting.
No, even worse, snogging in lobbies.
What? Lobbies?
Lobbies.
Oh, you'll be having sex in toilets next. This is revolting.
I know.
You'll be having it on the baby changing facilities.
Oh, that's... I've never tried it on them.
There was a girl, I can't remember her name, and she was at our school, and she was 14. Come in, don't panic. And she had sex on the baby changing unit in the McDonald's in Reform Street and ended up pregnant.
But I don't see
a
baby...
With a wee cheeseburger baby.
I don't see a baby changing table giving you much support.
She was very small.
Oh, right, okay.
She was very small.
I wouldn't risk that.
No.
Well,
think of the poor babies that need changing. But you had a nice night?
I had a lovely night. Bumped into loads of people. And the night before, I bumped into somebody called Reese, who's in The Importance of Earnest, I think, which is at the Pleasance. And they've asked me to go on and do a cameo at the end. So I've agreed, and I don't know what I'm doing.
And when's this?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, fair enough.
I got a text about it. I have to give them a date.
Right, okay. And are you going to do it?
Yeah. I like agreeing to things. I don't have the faintest idea what's going on.
Like this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Not
like
a clue.
This. No, I broke my no drinking rule and I made love to a bottle of gin.
Which particular gin?
Leith gin, my favourite gin, my very, very favourite Leith gin. And we were talking about Marks and Spencer's with Lucy, who's coming on. And my niece used to work there, Lucy, so we used to get the discount. And I've got the spheres that you make the ice in, so and I gave the dog one to lick, and that lasted her the whole evening. No gin in it, obviously.
No, obviously.
Too warm for Dame Smidgen. But no, it was very nice.
So a whole bottle, Bruce. And irritatingly, you look fabulous because you don't get hangovers because you're evil.
Do you know what it is?
What
it's volumizing powder. That's why my hair's up. I'm not saying it's nice, but it's perpendicular. I do look a bit like Christopher Walken. I was driving in thinking, because I've told this story many times. It was one time during lockdown and these little shits went, "Oi, mister, is that a wig?" And I went, "It's Ms." And no, it's not. I left random voice notes on various apps.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Which is one of my favourite things to do.
So did you wake up this morning with the fear?
No, not at all, because I just blocked them all. No, I downloaded Grindr again, and it was things... I had no intention of bumming, honestly.
Nisi, you're so loud.
It's too
Jesus, woman.
But it was when people were going, a couple seeks third. I'm like, so how many of them are you? This was a whole evening's entertainment. Oh, and I've started watching Revenge again.
Oh,
it's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Has anyone watched Revenge? Do you remember Revenge? It's all set in the Hamptons. Victoria Grayson. Oh, fucking treat yourselves.
I'm watching Millionaire Motorhomes.
Well, not this month, because you're not in to watch the television.
No, but I've recorded it.
Oh, well, that's good. You've got something to work towards.
Yes.
Shall we have a guest on?
Shall we?
Shall
Let's
we?
Do
Lucy,
that.
Lucy, would you like to join us?
Please yes, come over and applause for
lovely
hi,
Lucy.
Lucy.
Hello, my darling. Come on. Come on. Yes.
Hop. Come and sit amongst us.
Oh, Lucy.
How lovely to have you. Are you well, my darling? Oh,
just
I know.
Yank
yeah,
it
just,
out. Yank
just attack it.
Out.
It.
Oh, yank it out.
That's it. Oh gosh.
Oh.
Hello.
Can't imagine
Hi,
what
Lucy.
You're like with a cock.
It was funny because I met Lucy outside and she had a bundle of flyers, and when she came in, she went, "Goodness, these were an optimistic gesture."
Yes.
And I said, "Yes."
Very.
Yes, indeed. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
But you're not enjoying the heat.
I'm not enjoying. It's not for me.
No, not for you, love.
No. No.
Do you do you like heat when you're on holiday?
Well. Yes, a little bit. My husband really likes it. Mm. He wants to fry.
Oh.
But I'd sort of, I don't know, I'm all right with heat if I can just do this. Lie.
I like heat if you can lie
if
and
can
there's water nearby
still.
That you can just
yes,
dip
and you
in
can
and out.
Yes, you can into the water
yeah. no,
to cool down.
But equally, I don't like being cold, so I'd rather be hot than cold. So I'm just saying
really?
That I can't wear a flimsy outfit because then I'll get chilly at some point when I go down and the wind blows. I'm not having it, so I'm sweating myself to death here.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I don't like either of those extremes.
Do you like being alive?
Do I like being alive? I do love being alive. I do love... I think if I had to choose between hot and cold, I would go for cold because I think there's more things you can do to combat that, like you can pop a jacket on.
But if you cast your mind back to any time your boiler's broken down and you've sat in a cold house, that's quite miserable.
It is, yes.
Isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It would make you start drinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's awful. Life's awful.
It's hellish. There's a war on. People can't park their cars.
There's monkeypox, a plenty, but you're now...
We're just speaking about that. Just for the listeners, I am now vaccinated, although I have to say, cloak and dagger, recessual health in Edinburgh. Hello, do you know what you're here for? I went, well, it's not a termination, is it? Don't be stupid. Mm-hmm. And she went, but do you know what you're here for? Can I have your name? I went, all my details are on the screen in front of you. I went, what is this? Seriously? And do you know what the problem is? They've merged Gay Men's Health with Family Planning that used to be in Stockbridge, which is like Kensington. So all these snooty bitches that are bummerphobic are just judging you because of your life. And she went, why are you getting this? And I said, because I can't be Gay Braille. I said, I spend too much on my skin. I want a smooth epidermis. And I just don't want bloody monkeypox.
I think it's very sensible.
Yes, thank you. Thank
you. It's a sensible choice. Also, you said you're going to London, aren't you?
I am going to London to do warm-up for drag queens, which are an appalling species of individuals. There's one at the door. She's a part-timer. it's a thing called Queen of the Universe. So they actually sing. They don't lip-sync. But you said you can sing. Yeah. So she's a singer, Nathan. Yeah.
Huh?
Can you sing?
Yes, I can sing, but my timing is so poor that when I was at drama school, my music teacher was the wonderful Colin Sell, who plays the piano for, I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. Mm-hmm. And he said that the hardest thing he's ever had to do in his entire career is accompany me.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that I take that as a huge compliment.
I do, yes, and I'm tempted to put it on my flyers.
Yeah. Broke him.
Yes. I make a nice sound, but I can't. My timing is awful. It's a classic case of overthinking.
Yeah. Which we were discussing.
I'm an overthinker.
And I compensate for both of you by not thinking anything.
That's good.
Well, you do think some stuff. I mean, for all your kind of haphazard attitude towards life, for want of a better thing, you're very rational. You're actually quite a calm person.
Oh, I'm very
calm.
I'm
prone to hysteria, which isn't like my people at all. I'm not stereotypical in that way. No, I'm quite hysterical. It's funny. I'm so laid back about so many things, but it could be tiny things.
Mm.
You know, like a tiny noise. Oh, my God. I just want to stab them in the eyes.
Oh, no, I'm complete. Yes, it takes a lot to rile me. I'm very good in a crisis. And, yeah, just like, yeah, it'll be fine. Whatever. I lost my keys at Glastonbury and I was fine about that.
Never really?
Found them.
Yeah. Your car keys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you want
Did
to
they
tell
turn
them?
Up?
No.
How did you resolve the situation?
Smashed a window.
Oh.
Now, in fairness, you didn't. There's a bit more to it. Stop making out as though you're some kind of superhero here. Because you're not. You came back with thrush. She did. And I want that noted.
You were calm about thrush as well?
Well, she had no option. I think she was just glad. It was funny, actually, because I was telling my sister-in-law this. There was one day I was on the phone to Jojo, and obviously, only me, Nathan, and I presume the tech has testicles. And I'd had terrible trouble going back to Marks & Spencer with pants because I've got quite a big thigh and they skirt so they don't support, right? And I'd ripped my gusset, I didn't know it, and I was making a coffee. And I said to her, there's something wrong. I'd sat on my nuts and they'd gone numb, right? So I had to get off the phone, poke them around to get feeling back into them. And it was her that said, between me and my thrush and me and my nuts, she had a fizzy fanny and I had numb nuts.
Numb nuts and fusty fanny.
Fusty fanny, fizzy. Yeah, my fizzy. Sister-in-law met her and they got that story and she's like, ooh.
No.
Because Jill's so easygoing. No.
Now tell us all about your show. I want it's My Fat Wedding.
Yes, Lucy Frederick's Big Fat Wedding. It's about it is about my wedding. I got married in September.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I'm glad you're still able to milk it.
I know. I'm going to say I just got married for about
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years thereabouts. Yeah.
It's like Nigella, a recently boiled kettle.
Yes.
When's recent? Last Thursday.
Yeah. That's right. No, but it's actually about being a fat bride. It's about my body, being a fatty. And sort of learning to be okay with that.
Were you a bit of a bridezilla with the lead up to it?
No,
the
I wasn't. So the show is about taking up space, literally and figuratively.
Yes.
So it's actually more about the fact that this is not in the show, but on my hen do, my two bridesmaids, who are big personalities, poor boundaries, those are the sort of people I gravitate towards, and they said, oh God, you've been in a massive pain throughout this whole process. And I was like, oh my God, I have actively tried not to be a massive pain. Mm-hmm. I've just said...
But it's your fucking wedding, you do what you like.
Well, also, I've always actively tried not to be a pain. I was like, no, I'll have whatever, as long as it's, not too expensive. Just whatever, I don't mind. I'll be happy with whatever. And they said, because you don't state what you want, we have to try and guess. And it's much more difficult than if you were just a massive bitch and said, I want this, and I won't take anything else. Yes. So it's interesting, isn't it, I think? That's not in my show, actually, but it is about the fact that I'm not very good at staying what I need, taking up space, and kind of liking the things I like, and it's basically about loving your body as it is right now and not how it might be
in 6 months. Now it's interesting because you use the word fat. As you can see, I'm a larger lady. I was larger. I was 20 stone. I'm now somewhere in the 17s. Thank you. But the point is that people don't like the word fat now, and I just think it's factual. I don't understand why people automatically think that you're being derogatory about someone if you're I am still fat. I'm still in the obese range. I was morbidly obese and now I'm obese because these are the options. But I don't mind if someone says, Yeah, exactly. Because, it's factual.
I think it has such terrible connotations, and particularly for women. Yep. It is. We're just conditioned to be anti-fat and to be terrified of fatness.
And like you're saying with getting married, and yes, the assumption everybody or most brides always want to lose weight for their wedding.
It is depressing.
Did you want to?
No.
No, so there was never crossed your mind that you needed to slim down to get married?
No, I didn't.
Brilliant.
I can't slim down. This is the shape and size I've been since I was about 14.
Right. Okay.
I've done it all. I've tried it all. And I've also been super sad about my body for years. I'm just done with that. I'm done being sad about it. And this is the body that I've got. It's a walking, talking miracle. We all are. Like, you've got a body, and it works. You're doing well.
Well, that's the thing. If you can walk and you can make your own decisions, ultimately, I have a father who's in a bad way through. So if you can wipe your own arse, you're winning at life. He can.
Yeah, 100%.
He's lying away and is thin, deathly thin, but is dying a very, long, drawn out death in a cot, in nappies. It's inhumane. But it's funny how you go on about brides getting thin, because I had a cousin, and I think she was down to like a slice of toast a day in the run-up to the wedding all these years ago. Have you ever seen the film Bride Wars? where they're in Vera Wang, and she said, oh, are you going on a diet beforehand? She said, because, what is it? You fit your body to fit Vera, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's good. I tried that in Georgia Asdown, the clothing department, with someone once. It didn't have the same effect because it's mass-produced shite. But it is that thing, that the bullying, the self-bullying, the self-flagellation, oh, I'm fat, therefore I'm worthless. I equated that a few months ago. And then I was embarrassed because I was overweight because people can't afford to eat and all this kind of stuff. And then you're thinking, are people looking at me thinking, oh, Christ, you know what I mean? He's just eating and people can't.
The things are not the same. Actually, obesity is much more common in poverty-stricken houses. It's expensive to eat well, there's lots and lots. There's really, interesting sort of socio-political sort of stuff around fatness, about why we don't like it. It's also, actually, there's lots of information about how it's fat phobia stems from racism, stems from a fear of the black body.
But it does feel like that, doesn't it? I always, people, they project their own insecurities and fears 100%. Onto the person. So, somebody who will look at you and go, oh, how could you be that size? It's their fears, not yours.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I think the thing is, one of the things I say in my show is that loving your body, whatever size you are, it just takes constant effort and constant maintenance. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what your issues with your body are, because you don't have to be fat to have body issues. You can not like your tits, you can not like your legs, whatever. I think there's a lot of, most people, actually men and women, and everything in between, have some sort of body anxiety. And loving your body takes constant maintenance. Mm-hmm. You have to continuously, sort of guard against all the things that are in our society and the media around you that want you to feel a bit shit about yourself. Mm.
Can I go back to the thing that you said, that fat phobia stems from racism? Because I had no idea about that. My sister's a bit of a fattest. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, but you've lost weight. Oh, that's good. And it's like, well, first of all, I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Well, that is a big thing. So you said, because you made a little joke when you said, I'm down to 17. Thank you very much. And I never congratulate anyone on weight loss now. So my mum died. So my mum died in 2004, and she was a big lady, and she lost weight. And you would be amazed at the amount of people who went, "Oh, Jenny, you look great," when she was dying. So I don't comment on people.
That's,
I think, you've made an interesting point.
But the racism, that I just find that extraordinary. I love a black body. I am essentially Naomi Campbell's twin sister. I'm obsessed with Naomi, but I do. I love their muscle tone. I love the skin and all that kind of stuff. So I'd never heard that. That's very.
So I'm not the authority on it at all.
No.
There's brilliant literature. There's a great book, I think it's called Fearing the Black Body, which is really brilliant. And it's basically, it's about where this they're giggling. Why are they giggling?
What's happening? Who's laughing? Why is
something's
that? This is a professional broadcast.
Sorry, do you find racism funny? I don't...
Oh, sorry, but I do. I like all kinds of bodies, particularly. Fetishize. Pipe down, madam, honestly. For goodness sake.
You do need to think probably about yourself. There's brilliant. Anyway, I'm not the authority, and there's brilliant people who can talk about it much better than me. But essentially, the root of it is that, as most people know, sort of 400 years ago, the sought after female body was a bigger one with hips, and actually double chins were sexy and cool, and big boobs and sort of voluptuous
figures. Sort of
Rubenesque,
isn't it?
100%, yeah. Yes. Those kind of figures were the sought after ideal figure. And if you were very slim, then that was not attractive. But after the invention of slavery, where there were black people coming to places like the UK and America, black women have that classic sort of curvy figure, and it was a move away from that kind of body, which then started this trend for thinness in women.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Somebody may well, I'm sure that anybody listening to the podcast, not anyone today because there's no one here, but I mean,
they're listening,
will tell me that,
they're listening,
but there are other places you can read it much more eloquently than I've put it, but
but that is a very interesting insight, because the funny thing is now, particularly, I mean, I know the Kardashians are constantly accused of appropriating black culture, but they seem to go after the aesthetic that people were running away from then all those years ago with a
larger... Sure, well, it's called... it's a, this phrase, blackfishing, I believe, is what it's called, isn't it? You know, that of using elements of black culture to, you know, kind of picking and choosing elements of black culture. Like, for example, having a big bottom, you know, and what have you, and the boobs, and what have you, and the big lips, and what, and, you know, like, you know, like sexy, all this stuff, but not having any of the stuff that goes along with it, which is the, you know, being a victim of racism every day, and you know, and the oppression and what have you.
But that's really interesting.
If I explain that all right, it doesn't sound like an arsehole.
No, that's you don't sound like an arsehole at all.
I'm sweating from anxiety.
But going back into what you were saying, that now obesity tends to be rife in poverty-ridden areas.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
But again, that was the other way around, that in society, and it's the sort of class system, that it was the voluptuous, you know, buxom people, because that was a sign of their wealth.
Absolutely.
And opulence, and that skinny people were... basically kind of...
Yeah, I think you're right, though. But I think it's absolutely a sign of wealth now to have the perfect figure, isn't it? Because
100%.
It means you can afford the personal training, the dietitian, the nutritionist, whatever, you know. And so I think that's massively flipped on its head. You know, and also there's all sorts of stuff about emotional eating, isn't there? That, you know, that actually being overweight is nothing, not to do very... rarely to do the fact that you're just greedy, like that's, you know, or that you don't move enough. There's all these sort of ridiculous myths really around, you know, around fatness and bigness, that you know, because actually, you know, there's all sorts of things like your metabolism and emotional eating and, you know, your relationship with other people. Apparently overeating and being an empath and being a people pleaser are very linked together as well in terms of your mental health. So there's loads of really interesting stuff that I'm not really an authority on.
No, but it's very interesting to hear your take on, you know, what you find out. Because what I always thought, if you look at Victoria Beckham and you look at Dawn French...
I have to. Mm.
No, you do have to for this. But as she got more and more successful, Victoria Beckham became thinner and thinner and thinner.
Yeah.
Whereas Dawn French at the height of her fame got bigger and bigger and bigger. I just always thought that was really interesting. Because it's almost as though being stick thin and one breath away from death is, you know, the thing, along with bad facelifts.
But Dawn French has slimmed down considerably, I think, now, hasn't she? She's kind of...
It's because she's not as successful anymore. That's the thing.
It's not. I don't know. I think, you know, and obviously there are sort of, you know, the extremes of weight, but you're very, very slim or very large, then obviously there are health implications and what have you. But I think that... I think we get really bogged down in that, in terms of, you know, and I have no comment on being underweight. It's never been a thing for me. It's not an area that I can comment on. But certainly, you know, for being overweight, there's a lot of focus on, well, you know, you shouldn't celebrate it because it's actually really unhealthy. Sorry, it's really unhealthy, so don't be saying positive things about it.
So,
you know, we all do unhealthy things.
Of course, hello.
Well, clearly.
We'll probably see unhealthy.
I think
unhealthy.
That's why I really enjoy, I mean, I like her music as well, but I think Lizzo, the singer, I just think she is an incredibly positive...
I love that bit.
Yeah, she's just fabulous, isn't she? I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think I'd want to go on a night out with her because she'd be telling you constantly how fine she is. You know, I'm too fine to be in this podcast. I'm too fine to do it. And you're like, Lizzo, we get it. You're uber confident. You have to shut the fuck up now, love. Mummy wants to talk. But I do think that her... I just think she's a fantastic role model.
Have you seen the talent show thing called Big Girls? Because it's got no R. Big girl. In my accent, sounds ridiculous.
Now, I'm going to suspect you never apologise for the size you are, but do you feel that you're put in a position where people expect you to put... You saying about taking up space in the show, do you feel that people's expectation is that you should apologise for being...
Yeah, I think so. I definitely do apologise way too much.
Do you?
Yeah, totally. You know, but that's because that's the other side of the show, is my own sort of inability to take up space in a figurative sense, you know, and you know, the people around... I gravitate towards people who take up space and are, you know, very unboundaried. And so I end up feeling like, oh no, I'm all sort of put out in my life.
Okay.
So I do a lot of apologising, but it's definitely something I'm aware of and I'm working on. Try very hard to be like, well, no, this is the space that I take up. And I'm quite a sort of bombastic, loud person as well. My show, like, I think sometimes people come and sit on the front row of my show and kind of just slowly throughout it just lean back because I'm like, and then this happened, and then this other thing happened, and oh my God, oh,
and another thing.
Yeah. I'm sort of like wave my arms around a lot. I've also got a telly on the stage, right? Because I have a couple of, got a little PowerPoint. Oh. And a little video in my... I've got a video of me cutting my husband's hair during lockdown one. It's just me bullying him into a bowl cut. but I'm so spatially hopeless that I, like, whack the telly with my hand, like, at least twice a show. It's been there since the beginning of the run, and I'm like, I just hope, like, I'm just, like, a person.
Be more Lizzo.
Be more Lizzo.
Enjoy smacking the television.
She doesn't do that. She's all sort of spatially aware. She can do like special dance. She can do the brilliant dancing.
Well, maybe you just need a full-time choreographer.
I do, for maybe,
life.
Yes.
That's all you need. What time are you on and where?
I'm on at 3:40.
3:40.
It's a clash. It clashes with everybody. 3:40 at the Gilda Balloon Patter House, which is lovely. Please come see my show because... It's awkward doing it to like 10 people, isn't it?
Yeah. And it
well, you're lucky you had 7 people. I mean, you're just rubbing salt into the wound, Lizzie.
That's true. No, you are right. And I am grateful to the people who come.
But it's that eternal thing, isn't it? But yes, definitely. We just get bums on seat and get them
in. Yeah.
That's nice. Get the bummers in. They love a seat.
That's true. I'm also, by the way, I should say, doing Myra Dubois' show as well.
Are you in that?
Ooh. I am. I am in that. I play... Myra's sister Rose.
Nice.
And I won't give it too much away, but my body confidence is relevant to that show as well.
Okay.
So I won't say any more than that, but it's worth a look.
That, okay. And what time and where is that?
Myra Dubois problem shares on 7:45 at the underbelly Bristow Square.
Oh, lovely. Very
well,
lovely.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Can we have a round of applause for lovely Lizzie?
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Alice, are you ready? Again. Are you primed? Are you brined? Lovely. You're brined.
Wonderful.
I'll tell you about that in a minute. Can we have a round of applause for Alice Brine, please? Yes. Thank you, Lucy. Hello.
Oh, this is where the brines was coming in.
Brine. Hello, dear. How are you?
That.
Oh, I'm liking your Converse. Are those the Rick Owens ones?
No, they're the, I don't know what they're called, but they have like a wee platform on them, so they make me a bit taller.
Nice.
Oh, they are.
Make
they're
me a wee
fabulous.
Bit taller, you know? Give me a bit of height, so I'm really around a wee
There
wedding.
We go.
That's better.
But your surname, because when Nathan was saying your name, me and Lucy thought he was saying Brown in a very posh Scottish Brown. Accent, but it's Brine as
Brine,
in
yeah.
the...
I brine like tuna. Tuna soaked in brine.
Well, yeah, he thought that. I was more thinking about the brining of a turkey a la Nigella.
Yeah.
Because you do that with spices.
It's very Nigella. There's a big time for brine every year when they do their Thanksgiving. It's like it's trends on the internet and stuff. It's quite cool.
Oh.
Yeah, I always just pretend it's me trending.
Right. Do you discuss your surname in your show?
Discuss.
Your surname.
No, actually, I don't. I just kind of like, there's a lot of comedians called Alice. And people like to get female comedians mixed up fucking so easily. Like, I had a sold-out board, and they put the wrong Alice on it, and I was like, this is a joke. Not to mention that I was sold out, but whatever. And so I like to play up the brine bit because it's, like, quite a distinctive word, and my nickname in New Zealand's briny and shit, so...
Oh.
With the name thing, I mean, in a little bit different. I think Jojo Smith had done the Stan Newcastle, but they'd said, great weekend at Stan Newcastle with Jojo Sutherland. So I replied and said, I think this applause is for Jojo Smith. And they replied going, oh, yes, sorry, apologies, Julia Sutherland.
Yeah, it's what?
Oh, my God, how insulting.
I mean, 100%. So...
Oh, I saw her the other evening. She really doesn't like me. But anyway, we'll move on.
Oh, I'm going to have to look her up.
Oh, save yourself the time.
No, just because I want for the goss.
Oh, right. Okay, I'll tell you after. There's not that's really it. We don't like each other. Actually, if you have any brine, I could throw it at her.
I think I could make you some.
Could you? Your own special brine.
Little broth.
A little broth.
Little custom broth for you.
Oh, nice.
Cheeky.
Are you a fan of broths and noodles?
No, I actually
and
am.
Ramen?
I love salt.
Yes.
Oh, I love
I'm a
salt.
Fiend.
Everything.
Well, apparently you
salt
get either
salt.
A salt tooth or a sweet tooth. I'm definitely a salt tooth. Cheese, nuts,
None of those things are salty.
Cheese.
Very good for hangovers.
What?
Salt.
Well, I don't
salt.
Get them.
No, I know. No, but that's what I'm telling
them. You. Do you get hangovers?
Yeah, some of the worst you've ever seen. I'm like, oh, it sucks.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to do that irritating thing of saying, is that a New Zealand or an Australian accent?
It's a New Zealand accent.
You mentioned that earlier.
Well, I mentioned it earlier.
Thank you for listening. I mean, good Lord. Have you been to New Zealand? Because you're going to Australia, aren't you?
I'm going to Australia. Perth, Adelaide, and Melbourne, and potentially New Zealand.
But are you going?
It's in the offing, but I'm thinking it's a bit too close to my daughter's wedding in June. I think I should come back a bit earlier.
Whereabouts in? Because I used to live in a house in Seven Sisters in London with gay Buddhists. It was hellish because I was the only one that ate meat. So I used to come in pissed out my mind with kebabs and all that kind of stuff. And they had a friend, Carla Cherry, who was from Christchurch.
Cool.
Are you from Christchurch?
No, I'm from Wellington. Mm.
Is that where the... No, Auckland was where the New Zealand Housewives were filmed. Did you watch any of
that? Oh, that horrible shot, yeah. So, Beverly Hills Housewives and stuff is fun because it's got the budget. So, it's, like, at least interesting because they're doing all this stupid shit with all their money. This was just kind of, like, a bit of cash and a lot of racism. Mm.
Yeah, they weren't very nice at all.
New Zealand has a huge problem with racism. It's not as bad as Australia's, but...
But they say that New Zealand is pretty, very similar to Scotland, but just with lots less people. Not. I'm not saying the people are, but the...
Yeah, there's definitely similarities I noticed. Like, Edinburgh reminds me a bit of Wellington.
Oh, okay.
But it's just, New Zealand's more made out of timber. Like, everything's wood because brick is too dangerous for earthquakes.
Oh, you're troubled by earthquakes.
Oh, we're very troubled by earthquakes, yeah. You have about two big earthquakes a month.
Really?
Yeah, it's annoying.
Do you still live even there?
I've lived in London for 5 years.
Right.
You just get everything put back together and then it rattles away.
Because every now and then there'll be like a big wind in London and then you hear the house rattle and like your instinct is to go get under a table and then you're like, oh, I'm in London, this is stupid. But yeah, like the panic attack is, oh, you never get rid of it.
Oh no, I don't know if it could be
bothered. Yeah, I've been through some nasty ones too.
Really?
Yeah, like proper like destroyed cities. Oh. Yeah, there was a whole... Christchurch was completely destroyed by an earthquake. The whole city was
done. I wonder if Carla Cherry's family were affected by this.
They would have been.
I'm not in touch with the Buddhists anymore, so I have no way of finding out.
Maybe just kind of like zen it out into the universe and ask.
Well, yeah, I'll cosmically order. And did you know that they film a Drag Race Down Under in New Zealand?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, they did that because of COVID, because Australia something. I don't know what it was.
Right. And who did we have on from New Zealand that lived in the woods? What was her name? Was she in New Zealand? Was she in Australia? We were speaking to her about Jacinda. Was her name Sarah?
Oh, no, Kate Barron.
No, she's American. Oh. Canadian. Yeah. Thank you. That's her PR up there.
Who was that?
Who was the woman that lived in the woods?
Oh.
Laura.
Laura Davis.
Laura Davis, yes. Was she Australia or New Zealand? I can't remember either.
Australia.
This woman lived in the woods.
That's pretty common, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. My ex-boyfriend lived in the bush for like 6 months of a year, and then the other one was mine.
But she wasn't... I find this appalling. Are they under tarpaulins?
Sick joke. Nathan got my joke.
Well, Nathan would, because Nathan is a very troubled individual.
Yeah. We figured that out day one at the Fringe. Me and Nathan were like, oh, are we besties? I guess... Well, sick in the head.
I think we'll place Nathan in a house of correction.
Oh, that sounds nice. Nice wee break.
Yes, we would enjoy that. So I'm withdrawing.
Nice wee breather. I'd love a little sectioning day off.
Do you discuss mental health and kinks and stuff in your show?
I definitely talk about, mental health. It's an interesting one because my show is stand-up comedy and it's about I'm a storytelling stand-up comedian, but like there's lots of jokes in it. It's not boring, I promise. And then... A lot of it is just about ridiculous situations that I get myself into and they always start off really, really relatable and then they take this turn that just sends people spiraling, like, why have you done that? Why did you choose to react like this to this situation? And it's because I've got very, 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 very severe ADHD. And so I kind of, this me now is like, I'm very, very, very medicated. So the only reason I can actually, my legs are doing weird things, but the only reason I can like focus in this conversation is because I'm heavily medicated. So I talk about that in my show and I just kind of like shed some light on what ADHD is really like and because I'm really sick of people being like, don't we all have ADHD? You seem really normal for ADHD.
But that's interesting.
I'm like, shut up.
So irritating.
Retrospective, particularly with divorced women in their late 40s that I know that work in publishing, not naming names.
Guess who you don't see?
Well, exactly. But they've had retrospective diagnoses, and going back to the housewives.
Everybody's getting diagnosed way too late. Women get diagnosed really late.
Yeah. One of the housewives of Cheshire had to leave the franchise because she was diagnosed retrospectively ADHD, but suddenly now her life makes sense.
Yeah, my life would.
I'm sure the money helps as well. I mean, yeah. For God's sake.
No, yeah, I talk about this on the show, so I don't want to give away too much, but my life changed hugely when I got diagnosed. Like, huge. Like, I was at school and I was failing every single subject, but I don't want to brag, but like, I knew I was really smart. I was really passionate about all the subjects I was doing, but I just would get to the exams and it just wouldn't happen. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to. I went to big state school, so they kind of like ignore you a bit. And I was like, oh, I'm probably not going to be able to go to uni. And then luckily, I don't want to remember, something happened that was just like, you couldn't ignore how ridiculous it was what I'd done. And so then I got diagnosed, and then I graduated with like firsts.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But, right?
But isn't it amazing that any kind of behavioural difficulties that go undiagnosed, you're immediately... You're dumb, you're stupid, you're lazy,
yeah. you're annoying, you're just loud, you're impatient.
And I think it's... Well, I'm all of those things. But I think it's only in the last 10, 15 years that actually, particularly in this country, they've actually identified that and got resources to deal with it. Because you're right, if you weren't privately educated, I had trouble at school for a whole host of reasons, and it wasn't that I was unintelligent. I mean, I'm not educated per se, but I'm... You're not dumb. No, I'm not dumb. No, I'm... That's very true.
I mean, no
you.
One really is, but you know how someone's like a little bit silly sometimes. You know when you meet someone and they just don't get it? That's all, G.
Yeah.
Some people are just like
my mum.
But that's it. Do you know what? Because people do get diagnosed now, and there is, there's research and everything gone into it. Because before, when I grew up, there was what was called remedial classes, which was just for all the thick kids. But I reckon, in retrospect, was probably underdiagnosed ADHD and ADD.
In New Zealand, it's still called cabbage. Do you guys
really? Cabbage.
So cabbage.
They were like, we're going to move you to cabbage math. And I was like, oh, thank God. That'll help. And then I got moved into cabbage. It was called, but that one was actually called Pathways to Life.
It's funny, actually, because I was in section 5 for maths. I won't tell you what that was called.
No,
it was a horrible thing. And it was the same with science, because this is the thing that Harris Academy in Dundee, if you weren't proficient in science or maths, you couldn't do computing.
Oh my God, that's so
exactly.
dumb.
Exactly.
I ended up accidentally becoming a computer programmer for a while, and I'm terrible at maths. It's not about maths.
No, exactly. But
it's about pattern recognition and being really, really, really like on the ball.
Ah, so an inquiring mind would go with that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, crazy people make the best
cabbage.
Coders.
Oh, I must tell my niece. She'll find that hilarious.
I think all education is just having a good memory.
Yeah, well, the way that they judge it is
learning and remembering.
Yeah. How much can you write down in one big session?
What's your degree in?
So I have a Bachelor of Arts in Film, Theatre and Media Studies, but I accidentally got a Korean cinema degree as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my friend had to fill out all the paperwork for me because I was really, really... I'm fucking terrible at paperwork, so my best friend would... Oh, I'm not allowed to swear.
No, stop. I'm terrible.
Oh, yes. It's an ADHD thing. It's really challenging. Like, it's debilitating. It's one of these things that people are like, oh, that's an excuse. And you're like, no, like... It's just not going to happen. I'll have a panic attack.
Do you?
So she accidentally enrolled me in a Korean cinema degree.
Do you find that the text and stuff jumps around?
Yeah, but that's Erlen's when that's happening. Have you heard of Erlen's syndrome?
I think I'm just dyslexic.
No, because there's Erlen's as well, which is the jumpy around. Dyslexic's a bit different.
Ah.
But yeah, and then you can get these special glasses and these coloured screens that you put on paper and it makes them stop jumping around.
I know, but I'd feel really stupid doing that.
They let me sample some glasses once and it made me feel like the guy, remember on the David Letterman show, and he like played the keyboard and he had funny coloured glasses?
No.
Or like Anastasia? Maybe. Made me feel like Anastasia.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't need to be looking like Anastasia on this exam right now. This is embarrassing as hell.
Is she still with us?
She's amazing. She was out for brunch and then just, they didn't recognize, it was a drag brunch. It was all caught on TikTok. The drag queens didn't recognize her and then one of them suddenly did and she was just like sipping her mojito. And then she just stole the mic, did a whole performance.
Oh, wow. No, I like that.
Just
I
like the proper chops of it.
Oh, yeah, no. She
you know,
can sing.
The one that makes you think that you can sing and then you do it and you're like, nope, never doing that again.
I like that one with Adele, when Adele did the Adele lookalike and she was one of the Adele.
Oh, that was so cool.
It was so cool. Did you see? You must have seen that.
No.
So there was Adele singer-likes or song, and they all were trying to pretend to be Adele, and Adele was one of the ones pretending to be Adele, and none of them believed it, but they were like, thought she was a bit shit.
Yeah, yeah, they were like, oh, the other girl was much better, but she might make it through. She had a whole prosthetic and she had everything
it's
on.
Brilliant.
Oh, wow.
So and then funny. She took it off and revealed it, and they just sat weeping.
But that's yeah. like...
And when they realised it was so weeping, good, I was wasn't like it? I was, yeah, proper way.
I'm Adele.
Although they didn't sing, Miley Cyrus and Lady Gaga were in the workroom for Drag Race in America. In disguise. Gaga came in as one of the queens, and they were like, "Who's not?"
I remember watching that.
And then Miley Cyrus was a workman or something like that. She had the moustache and the cap, and it was all very funny. It's very funny when you
I love them. Things like that, yeah, when celebrities kind of do it a nice trick. Way. Yeah.
Well, I think as well, when they're kind of, you know, being kind of benevolent with their gift and yeah. their fame, and not taking themselves too seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think when you see celebrities, and they're often the least talented people that take themselves really seriously.
It's always it's that. They always tell the most boring stories on couches for, and they demand the room for 15 minutes and you're like, what am I listening to?
Funnily enough, before I went right off her and Miss Nicola Sturgeon, her and Ruth Davidson, so the leader of the Conservatives and leader of SNP, did some kind of sketch in a lift thing that was really funny.
I just remember a Twitter fight between the pair of them disagreeing on policy, and then they went, oh, well, see you after the holidays. Hope you have a nice break. And you're like, oh, okay, that's all very civil and lovely. No, I didn't see them in the lift. What were they doing in the lift?
I can't remember the actual specifics of it, but it was kind of, you know, just sort of a
elevator pitch, something like that.
Just sort of being.
Are you a fan of Jacinda?
Funny. Yeah, I think she's brilliant. Yes. I think there was. There's a bit of controversy over
the treatment.
How am I going to word that? Basically, obviously, New Zealand had an amazing response to COVID-19. And they immediately had a system with what was called MIQ, which if you were a citizen, you could come back, but you had to quarantine in a government-provided hotel room for 2 weeks, and then that would cost you $3,500. So that was kind of like, okay, cool. I mean, it's very reasonable. Of course, we need a quarantine. It's just that there were 75,000 New Zealanders urgently trying to get back and 3,000 hotel rooms for the 3 years. And so people watched their family die on Zoom. And that's not necessarily Jacinda's fault on her own, but the government didn't really have enough of a response to really care about expat New Zealanders. So there's, and then the whole government's ended up getting sued. So,
really?
For human rights violating. At one point, it was the only country, and it was North Korea and New Zealand, the only country citizens couldn't enter. So there's a little bit of tea there. But compared to the shit show we've got going on over here, like, yeah, she's a godsend. I wouldn't trade her for anything. But yeah, that's the one fault that a lot of New Zealanders overseas kind of had.
Did you go home for any of it?
Couldn't.
No, of course, sorry.
Yeah, isn't that correct? Couldn't get back.
The hotel was full. You were technically like Mary and the baby Jesus.
Yeah.
No room at the
yeah,
inn.
Yeah, nothing at the inn.
Wow.
Nothing at the end. Yeah, so there's a lot of people really, really affected by it. Like, people watch very close family members just die on. So I had to watch a funeral on Zoom. It was like, really? Not the... But it's not... There's so much... I'm not saying we shouldn't have done a quarantine. That's so important. Just come on, 3,000 hotel rooms for 75,000 people.
Well, it depends what there's... Yeah, because... But then
and it was just a ballot, so you couldn't... There was no priority.
But that's the knock-on effect and the cause and effect and the repercussions.
Yeah.
And it will take time for that to all come to pass. I haven't said anything yet, but the point is that whatever manifests itself and will continue to manifest
what
itself
was that song
will
for?
Probably outdo COVID, but there you go.
What was the song for?
It's a sound don't
get
effect.
Me started. Yes, a sound effect for me not to get started.
Oh, sick. I need one of those.
Can she have her own sound effect, please?
I've been very good.
Oh, it's nice. I patronise.
Because when an audience laughs, I'll definitely stop. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Do you go and see other people's shows?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
But I have depression and anxiety, and I'm very neurodivergent, and so I get little tiny things can overwhelm me really easily. And so you can go to a show before your own, and most comedians will experience this. Just like even their microphone going wrong. And you can spiral and then just be like, my microphone's going to go wrong, everything's going to go wrong, everything's going to go wrong, and it's kind of a little bit dangerous. So, but I definitely go afterwards to shows.
Ah.
And are you enjoying Edinburgh? Because
I'm the luckiest. I've never heard of it this easy. I'm a horrible person to be around. Like, I've never been to the Fringe before, and like my run's nearly sold out.
Brilliant.
I'm just a prick. And I'm staying at my mate's house for real cheap, and she cooks for me vegetables every day. Do you know what I mean?
She what?
She cooks like beautiful salads for me every day.
Oh, right, right. I thought she said she talked to you as though you were a vegetable. I thought I completely picked that up.
No, I've got it way too good. I'm having it. I don't want to even talk about it because I just feel terrible. Like,
do
I'm
talk
out.
About it, because I think sometimes we can get dragged down into the kind of negativity
I'm
and
like,
stuff.
I'm so
quite
sorry.
Easy to
don't I'm having, oh, a, yes, I'm having a quite nice time.
But you
good.
Shouldn't apologise for
right.
that. That's ridiculous.
I've never heard of it happening before.
I'll come and speak to you in a couple of weeks
exactly.
and see how you're feeling then, bitch.
Come around for yeah, no, oh, trust me. Oh, we're in the honeymoon phase. Wait until end of the month and I'm sobbing on stage.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I know
the breakdown's coming, sweetheart.
I'm ready.
But
I'm
you,
ready.
You have to remember, people aren't going to have sympathy for you crying in a sold-out room.
I know.
That's your own business.
Oh, and my sold-out crowd weren't the best tonight. I know that some of them were rude. Like, no one cares. Shut up.
And where are you on?
420, Blaze It.
At the Blazons?
No, I said Blaze It. Because that's the international weed smoking time. I don't smoke weed.
Oh, 420.
420.
I didn't understand that.
Someone knows 420.
I don't know what 420. Okay. What's 420? I don't know what 420
is. It's an international
hash
smoking day.
Yeah, like if you're a stoner, like 420, everybody is like, you smoke weed at 420. It's the kind of, it's 5 o'clock somewhere thing.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. But
like
I don't
cowboy
weed,
time.
But they booked 10 me for 4:20.
What?
10 to 10 is cowboy time.
10 to 10 is cowboy time?
Yeah.
What's cabinoid?
10 to 10 to 10, 10, 10 to 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 10 to
10 10 10 10
10 10 10 10
10 I never want to hear that again.
And what's it? It's 2:30. Oh, actually, I don't know if you could. Chinese dentist time, 2:30.
No, I don't think we'll have that joke, in all honesty. And it's toothy hearty. And
toothy-hearty.
I think that's enough. Alice, thank you very much for
thanks
joining
for
us.
Me. Thanks so much.
Can we have a round of applause for lovely Alice Bryan? Oh, for goodness sake, jokes of the 70s. It's outrageous.
That's what it is.
Is
times of a change. See you later.
I'll see you later, love. Okay, bye.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. Oh, you what?
Nancy's
on now.
Nancy's on
now. Oh, brilliant. Can we have a round of applause for the one person that stayed in the room for the international
Nancy.
Singing sensation that is
Nancy
Clench. Hey. Oh, she didn't clap.
Come up. Oh, what have you done? What are you doing?
Oh, wow.
Well, that's nice.
Oh, Nancy.
Bringing your own laughter.
We nearly didn't recognise you.
We're not going to have that.
Who doesn't
all the
love
way
a quick change?
We're not going to have that all the way
through. Yeah, could you turn that off, love?
Oh,
it goes off. Yeah, there we go. See?
There we go. How
hello.
Are you?
I'm well.
Why have we got
it's
you?
It's nice to be back on the stage.
Yes, it's lovely.
I was off last night, you see, because I didn't sell any tickets.
Well, again, we enjoy the honesty.
Well, this is it. And yeah, no ticket boy.
Are you in this room, Nancy?
Yes, on this stage.
Oh, good Lord. So do you get changed in the confidential kitchen?
I do get changed in the kitchen.
Are you tempted to steal the nasty receptionist stuff from the fridge? Because I am.
Well,
I nearly gobbed in the hummus.
The other day,
yes.
I forgot to bring the inserts in for my bra.
Oh, the bar towels.
What, the towels.
So I had to go searching the cupboard for tea towels. So I have in my possession 4 of their tea towels.
Have
wow.
you taken them home and washed them?
Well, they are in
make
my
sure they don't get added to our bill.
Because we can't pay it as is.
No, someone at the Pleasance told me that they were offered 2 towels because the room is very sweaty and it was added to their bill because the team at the Pleasance went to John Lewis to buy 2 towels.
They
so this was in 2019. The guy got an invoice for £30 for 2 towels and I said, well, did you at least get to take them home? And he went, no, because I thought it was the Pleasance's. So he got charged for 2 towels.
What the fuck has happened to your volume control?
I don't have volume
control.
Nancy, you seem very animated. Now,
I'm very animated.
Nancy, your show is called If Your Symptoms Aren't Life-Threatening, Can You Please Hold?
Yeah, not Can You Just Please Hold.
Is it just called?
Oh, no, no,
so
no,
it
no
says,
please.
If Your Symptoms Aren't Life-Threatening, Please Hold.
Yeah, I know, I oh, fucking wrote so. It. How did you come up with the idea for that?
Well, it was going to be called something like Madam, can you get out the doctor's surgery or something boring? And then you helped me come up with the title.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And are you enjoying this show?
I am enjoying the show. I think it's the best show I've ever done.
Right.
And
okay.
How many times have you done it now?
Like 6.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Okay. And how long does it take you to make up into Nancy?
About 30 minutes.
And how long does it take Vanity?
Two hours. Go.
Really? How long does it take you to get out of, Nancy?
Well, it depends, because if it was the other day, it took me about 6 hours because I fell asleep in my makeup.
Oh, okay. And then does your skin go to pot?
No, well, does it look like it has? It was
no,
only the other day.
No, you're looking very fresh.
Yeah, are you Dr. Kaboom?
Oh, piss off, Nancy. Well, I can go. On stage.
Thank you, Nancy. There we go. Round of applause to Nancy Clench. Dr.
We've
Kaboom,
got
quickly.
Real guests.
Oh, we knew it would be tight.
Just,
hello.
We were just...
How are you? Good to see you.
We were just filling time until you got here, but thank God you
thank
arrived because he was boring me to death.
Now, Dr. Kaboom.
Hello, yes,
are you a real doctor?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Are you a real doctor?
No.
No.
Okay.
Speaking to the mic.
What kind
yeah,
of a,
yeah, sorry.
What kind of a doctor are you proclaiming?
Oh,
I'll
you.
Have it.
Can I?
So I'm an actor, and yep. Dr. Kaboom is the character I created for my shows.
Yeah.
He is a physicist. He's German, so I bleach the hair, spike it up,
okay.
Chrome goggles, orange lab coat with motorcycle boots with flames on the side.
Mm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and a thick German accent. So, you know, he's like, ja, hello. My name is Heinrich von Schwartau. My friends call me Dr. Kaboom. It's a nickname from Experiment with a Cannon on a Hamster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Kaboom,
it,
I like.
It did not work. Yeah, but you never saw such a look of surprise on a hamster's face in your life. Yeah.
And do you operate on anyone in the show?
No.
No.
He's not a medical doctor.
All right. Is he just a scientist?
He's a scientist. He's
just a scientist. Listen
yes,
to
I
me.
Know.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
He,
just
yeah.
a podcaster.
7 years at university.
Right. You know, if anyone calls him Mr., he's like, you know, careful, I work hard for my fake title, so...
I have a friend who's very keen on being called a doctor, even though it's a PhD.
Oh, yeah.
Which apparently is the same thing as saving lives.
Right. So it's really fun to poke fun and not use
oh,
the
you
title.
Could swear, love. Honestly, doctor, feel free. We're in full surgery here. You offload your ailments to us.
Yeah.
So do you do live experiments and stuff during the show?
I do live experiments. The show is sort of I basically wrap the character around tabletop experiments that I make much bigger and more ridiculous. And so it's character-driven comedy, interactive with the audience. And then when I bring kids up on stage for volunteers for things, my goal is to empower them, look for opportunities to teach them to be proud of themselves, to stand up for themselves, and to make them the hero of the moment.
Oh, wow.
And so...
Which is what every kid wants to be, don't
right?
they? The hero of the moment.
Yeah.
Not the shy ones.
I don't know, even if shy ones, I think like to shine.
Do you have children yourself?
Yeah. I do.
And is that a kind of parenting thing you brought them up with, the similar
yeah,
ethos?
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely,
Because you're an empowering parent, I would say.
Sorry, what?
You're an empowering parent.
I think so,
yeah,
yes. Empowering them to leave.
Well, you're leaving them.
Yeah, you're as soon as they're old enough.
Oh, they are old enough.
Yes, they are now, thank
yes.
you. So you have literally just been on stage and raced to us, which thank you very much.
Yeah.
How was today's show? Did you feel? Are you starting to compare and contrast your shows and you've got favorites?
I haven't been able to see a whole lot of shows yet. I've been going nonstop for mine. And I've been going to some of the late night shows. I haven't seen any of the other family shows yet. But my show today was great, thank you. It was a lot of fun. We had... over 100 people in today, which was nice.
Very good.
And
what
really
does it hold if it's a 750-seater that's shit, but
yeah,
if it's
right,
120,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Perspective.
Well, exactly. I'm in Beyond, which is a bit big for my first time being here.
Okay.
But the other option I was given was going to be too small. So this is a nice middle ground. We've had over 200 people in it. It's a 300-seat venue at Pleasance Courtyard. And so it's, you know, it just keeps growing every day.
Okay.
And I've just found out today that I'm being brought up on, like, mom groups on WhatsApp. And
oh,
people are
really?
Saying,
oh, that's
show.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's great that you watch a show grow. It's much better that it starts slow and goes builds rather than the other way down.
Yeah.
I mean, audiences drop off a cliff. So, it's going the right way.
I've been loving it. It's, you know, this is a career-long dream to come here. And so to be able to come here and do it with a show, with something I've created and have it working is... You know, it's literally a dream come true.
So, like Alice, this is your first fringe.
Yeah. Never even been as an audience member, and I can't believe I've missed
this. Is it your
this.
First time to Scotland?
It is.
Oh, wow.
It is.
Oh, so it must be quite oversensory then, is it?
Oh, magnificently so, yeah.
Cool.
And, well, you know, I had to, science is prop heavy, you know, so I had 5 suitcases that I had to fly over. And so I flew into London and hired a car, rented a car to drive up. And I live in Seattle in the States, which is only about, you know, like 10 degrees more south, just a little bit south. Same weather, same countryside, you know. And so as soon as I hit Scotland and as soon as I started coming into the Edinburgh area, I was like, okay, I could live here. This is pretty much home. Where are you from?
We're from here as well.
I'm originally from Dundee, which is a smaller city further north.
Uh-huh. And I'm originally from Dunkeld, which is a very small town just near Perth.
Sure. Right on.
So, yeah. But we're both Edinburgh now. I've been here now.
I think you can just say you're from Edinburgh now. Yeah, it's a bit like apparently definitely. If you spend 10 years in New York, you can call yourself a New Yorker.
Oh, right. Really?
Yeah.
Well, so they said in Sex and the City, which is akin to the Bible. Yeah,
well,
I mean, really.
If they said
no one's
going to
disagree
it,
with
so.
That.
Did you watch any of Sex and the City?
I did. I had a friend who was on it for a while.
Who?
I'm not going to say.
Why?
Yeah. He was one of the boyfriends for a while, and he was really good. His name is Mike Dooley. Is his name? He was on it. I don't remember what year.
That was his character name.
No, that's his name. So if you look up the actor Mike Dooley, I don't.
Who was he a boyfriend of?
See, I can't recall right
now. Oh, for God's sake.
Now I'm on the spot. I know.
I mean, you know all this useless information about science, but when we get to something that's real...
Right?
Did you watch any of the reboot and Just Like That? Oh, my God, don't bother. It's so offensive. Did you watch any of it? Absolutely appalling.
I didn't.
So have you brought any of your family over with you, or have you just brought yourself?
Just myself. My wife was going to come over, but she is... She's shifting careers from being a director to a writer.
Okay.
And she just got accepted into this major writing conference in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's the same time she was going to come over. So we were like, all right, I'll go explore my dream. You go explore yours. And she's going to join me for a week in the countryside after we're done.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So, and then we have two girls who are... pardon me, 17 and 18.
Okay.
And, you know, they're doing their own things.
They're doing their own thing, right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That particularly that age, kids don't want to be anywhere near their parents. That's kind of between sort of 16 to 20, really, there's just get away from me.
Well, except when they need some cash. Or
100%. Something. That's the only time. Yeah.
We're pretty fortunate. Ours are both lovely girls. You know, I've got a daughter and a stepdaughter, and they were born a year and a day apart.
Oh, okay.
So they'd be the same birthday, except that the hospital gave my wife the wrong amount of a drug, so she was in labor for an extra 24 hours.
Wow.
I can laugh because it wasn't me.
Well, exactly. So what time are you on?
I'm on at noon.
Noon.
At the Pleasance Courtyard.
Okay.
Every day through the 21st.
And it's also suitable for adults as well.
It is. Yeah. I did comedy for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And then when my daughter was born, I decided to turn to family audiences.
Okay, that makes sense.
For a number of reasons. Yeah, you know, I wanted her to be able to see the show, I want her to be proud of it. It's also more lucrative.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not having to do a night in every town. I'm still on tour, I'm still on the road a lot, but I'm able to have a little bit more time at home.
So it is people coming to your show with kids. Are adults coming on their own?
Adults, I will occasionally come along. Sometimes I do adults only.
Okay.
Same science, different jokes. Mm-hmm. I don't go totally blue with it, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't go over the line because it just doesn't suit the character. Mm-hmm. But I let the audiences go there.
I take
them to the edge of that, let that fill in. And honestly, adults laugh harder at my shows than the kids because they get all the jokes.
Yeah.
And they're also, you know, how can you not enjoy seeing this adorable 5-year-old child who's nervous on stage, sitting on a little chair on top of a poker tabletop that I've turned into a hovercraft and literally fly across the stage.
Oh,
you
wow.
Know? So it's
my show. Do you have to be 5? Can you be 56 and
you
do
can.
That?
Come on by. You can ride it. It will hold me. And
Well, I'll come then. You're selling this to me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous fun. I mean, you just come over between shows. I'll give you a ride. On the hovercraft.
That'd be great.
Isn't that lovely? That is the first ride we've been offered.
Isn't it?
On the podcast. I'm thrilled.
Absolutely.
I've never felt so attractive.
There's an achievement.
Teabagging on a tea tray. Dr. Kaboom, thank you very much for joining us. Our hour is up.
Thank you
for sprinting. And have a great rest of the Fringe.
Thanks for having me.
Can we have a round of applause for Dr. Kaboom?
Thank you. I love this.
Now, just before we go, can I do a plug for my friend's venue? It's the House of Oz. And apparently there's a very, very talented young Antipodean lady called Gabby Bolt, who people should be going to see. That's just something that I said I would do. So I get my free meal and 8 bottles of wine tonight before I go and see Jinx Monsoon. As you can tell, I'm very shallow. But I look forward to you riding me later. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you.
I'll see you tomorrow, Jojo. Godspeed.
Yes, mañana, my darling.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.